if a cub gets beat up, that's usually when he, she vows to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we've got a big one. It is a book that people have been asking about for 3 years. When I first started doing this show, one of the first questions people asked me was, are you going to do the Berenstain Bears and the Bully? And it ranks up there with the Berenstain Bears Learn About Strangers, the Berenstain Bears and the Bad Dream, the Berenstain Bears and the New Neighbors, as just one of those books that people really remember, especially from the 90s, when things got a little more issuey, but also a little more iffy as far as, is this really a book about teaching kids about a subject, or is it some kind of weird power fantasy on the part of the Berenstains themselves? If you remember from your childhood, this is the book where Sister Bear confronts a bully, and we all learn that the way you confront a bully is by beating the heck out of them. And then the book ends. That's your lesson. Violence and then the end. To a degree that I often wondered, was this a joke? Like, was this a gag on the Berenstain's parts? But it always seemed a little more serious than that, especially when the end comes around and we learn a little bit more about our bully. And I don't know much about bullying. I didn't have much of a history of dealing with it when I was a kid. I was a theater student, which was another way of saying shut away in the theater building for your entire school life. Didn't actually have to deal with other kids. So I didn't have any help, talking with about bullying from my teachers or my parents or any authority figures. I am walking into this totally unprepared. I also have two kids, but it's just been an issue that they've never actually dealt with in school, just luck of the draw. So I've brought in an expert, and I did the groundwork, and I put out a call, and I have someone with me who I trust implicitly with the subject of school bullying. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the LGBT program coordinator for Minneapolis Public Schools, Jason Bucklin. Hello, Jason.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me here today. I actually really enjoyed receiving your email, and I'm really excited to be here with you today to talk about Berenstain Bears and the Bully.
Now, this is from 1993, and the 1980s into the 90s were an interesting time for this, just the subject of bullying. When I grew up, growing up watching TV, in the 80s especially, I think of like episodes of like Different Strokes and Mr. Belvedere, and anytime a bully would come on, it was always the tough and the way of getting to the heart of what bullying was you either had to learn to fight them or you learned to ignore them.
That's right. And actually, when I was reading this, now full disclosure, I'm not much of a reader, but I was able to make it through all 18 or so
listeners,
pages.
This is a first time book. This is not one of our chapter books, by the way. This is the classic first time book.
But I was able to make it through, and it reminded me. I looked at the copyright date. Eventually, it was early 90s, but it felt so much like how we talked about bullying in the 80s, and it really did bring me back to my childhood. I'm a middle child, and I have an older brother, and I always kind of remember thinking, I was like, oh man, if there's a bully at school, my brother is going to go beat him up, because that's what happens in the Berenstain Bear books and all the other pop culture references that you just mentioned. And it also has that the trope of, you know, the bully is just someone who's real tough, but they go down in one punch. I don't want to spoil the end of the book. We'll walk through the book. But, you know, when there's finally a confrontation, the bully just crumbles like a piece of paper.
Why do you think we were taught this at that time?
It almost is. You had used the phrase power fantasy earlier, and it is almost that idea of, you know, how do you build yourself up if you're the target of bullying? How do you build yourself up to know that that mean old bully is just this two-dimensional person who's, you know, they're obviously upset and hurt, and that they'll also not be able to stick up for themselves if you fight back. That was always kind of the way bullies were portrayed.
So what is the definition, the official definition today of a bully? What is bullying?
Yeah, and we really do try to teach people the difference between conflict, harassment, and bullying. Conflict is a disagreement between two people. We think conflict is healthy. We think we should be able to offer spaces where people can learn how to have conversations, embrace conflict, and deal with conflict respectfully. So conflict is a okay thing. It's a human thing, right? Bullying, on the other hand, is something that is done intentionally to harm. It's done repeatedly, so there's a pattern, and that there's a power imbalance. So one person is unable to necessarily change the trajectory of the action. And those patterns there have also evolved over time, and we can get down to this a little bit later in the conversation, possibly. But with looking at technology, with looking at access to cell phones, computers, social media, there's that in-person bullying that we think about. I think visually, when we think about bullying, we think about people that, you know, meet me outside at the oak tree at 3 o'clock or something like that. But bullying really looks different now. It's not just that physical bullying. It can be verbal, obviously. It can be exclusion. It can be repeatedly harassing somebody through social media. And so it doesn't even just take place at school, obviously, or when people are in face-to-face. It can happen online. It can happen in social media contexts. And I think we need to understand that, especially for younger people, it's very hard to... The online space is just as real as the physical space. And so that bullying that happens online needs to be taken as seriously as in-person bullying. We also know somebody who receives bullying online very likely sees bullying in their day-to-day lives, whether that's in school buildings, at park and rec programs, or around the community.
So let's take a look at the Berenstain Bears and the bully. And let's see what happens in this story and see how what happens is dealt with. And what I want to do is, like, I want to kind of pick apart this as a kind of a case study and see, like, what they could have done better and what maybe, if anything, they did correctly as far as this story goes. And fortunately, with the Berenstain Bears and the bully, there's no subplot. There's no secondary plot. This is the story of Sister Bear and her encounter with a school bully. So if you would be so kind, why don't you tell our listeners what exactly happens in the Berenstain Bears and the bully?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, it starts with a typically bucolic day in Bear Town.
They only call it Bear Country in these books, but we know canonically it is Bear Town
where they
live.
I want to get it right. So a typically, you know, wonderful day, I'm sure. But Sister Bear comes running in. She's her clothes are tattered. She's in tears. And clearly she's been harassed or bullied physically. At that point, it looks like there's a small discussion that happens, and then the Sister Bear mentions the bully, and I think the name here is really wonderful. It's a Tuffy.
Tuffy
Bear was the bully here, and then Mom and Dad are talking, and then Brother, though, he leaves the conversation and he goes out to go kind of even up the score, if you will, or enact, get some revenge here for the bullying. Gets confused, though, when he sees somebody wearing a Tuffy shirt leave the girl's bathroom.
Well, let's go back just a sec, because I want to talk
about
that
cliffhanger there.
Well, let's put a pin in that one, because that's a dramatic turning point. Let's talk about what happened to Sister.
Yes.
The evidence of her bullying. This is more than just... harassment. What
right.
happened to her? This is full-on physical assault.
Mm-hmm.
Her clothes are torn. Her shirt is not just her like overalls, but like her shirt has been torn.
Yeah,
it looks like she's been thrown to the ground because her elbows are torn out. She's probably been hit. They even messed up her hair bow.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty serious incident. Like if this happened at a school, which this happens at a park.
Yep.
If this happened at a school, like, how would this be addressed?
That's a good point. So earlier we mentioned the definition of bullying being something that's repeated, something that's intentional, something that there's a power imbalance. However, we also see things on different tiers. And so something, so an incident like this, even if it was the only isolated incident, would be dealt with at a pretty high level because of how extreme the situation described in the book is. So we do take into consideration those particular moments as well. And so I think maybe later we can get into the de-escalate and separate and prevention and all those pieces. But for the sake of right now, I think it's good to note that in a situation like this, we would escalate that to one of the highest levels because of the severity and seemingly one-sidedness of this situation.
Right, because she says, a no-good, nasty, rotten bully beat me up, and for no good reason. So this was like something that sort of like hit Sister from just out of the blue. Yeah, she said that she was just standing there. She was playing tag at the playground when a cub named Tuffy stuck out a foot and tripped her. She got up and said, why don't you watch where you put your feet? And then the bully just started hitting her and sitting on her and rubbing dirt in her face. So the situation escalated pretty quickly with seemingly no prompting at all from Sister. Like she...
Just enjoying her day.
So let's get back to Lizzie Bruin and Queenie McBear are playing, and they point out that Tuffy has is over there.
Right.
And they point to the boys' room and the girls' room, and they're like, but brother, you may want to. And he's like...
And brother's like, where is he? And they're like, hey, you need to know something. And then it turns out, we've all assumed, because it's physical in nature, that the bully, and how bullies are portrayed, that this bully is a male. Turns out, though, Tuffy... is a girl. Mm-hmm. So now what and is brother to do? Can't like, enact physical violence.
And like we know with most bullies, wears their name on their shirt.
Right.
Bullies easily identified.
Yep. They always put a name. They have their hello, I'm a bully sticker.
We never find out if Tuffy is actually named Tuffy, by the way. We just...
Or just has a shirt that
or just has
like,
a shirt that says Tuffy and was like, I'm going to be called Tuffy from now on.
It'd be nice if at the end of the book, Tuffy maybe put on a different shirt.
Right. but we'll talk about what happens with Tuffy at the end of the book, because that's a whole...
This
book is
thing.
Amazing in that the last two pages open up an entire new can of worms that are then dropped immediately.
Never explores, yeah.
Yep. So what happens to brother?
Let's see. To my recollection here, now that Tuffy is a girl, he can't do what he would have done. And what's also... interestingly, just kind of accepted and encouraged and normalized in the book is that, of course, a guy is going to go beat up another guy to like get him to stop doing something. That doesn't really seem to be addressed too much and is just kind of normalized in the book.
Yes.
That's what you do. Right. So he has to think differently. He has to do something else. And so he goes to the gym teacher. I guess we don't get into the fact that he steals.
Theft is involved.
But theft for good, I guess. steals from the gym teacher some boxing gloves, gets an old bag of beans, and then Rocky Balboa style trains Sister over the weekend to fight so that when Sister returns on Monday, she's able to defend herself.
Yeah, he just doesn't just train her to fight. We get a full-on montage.
There's an action. The I don't know the artist.
This is Stan and Jan Berenstain. Yeah.
Really, really compelling action.
Yes.
In the panels, it reminds me of comic books that I've read where you can really see the action take place. We got a left jab, a right cross, a left hook, uppercut. Then a torn up bag of beans by the end of it.
Yeah,
she really tore into it.
So she punched Mama's dried beans. Silly. This is what's funny is Stan and Jan don't skimp on the art in their books. So this is decades of experience behind them, which they put all into watching a tiny girl just learn to fight.
And interestingly, the brother takes all the punches, but then she tears up that. Dried bag of beans.
Yeah. At some point, he had to redirect her energy into the bag of beans.
To really let it go. You know, and so let's pause there for a minute because it's interesting in that that's how I remember, again, hearing about bullying and how to defend yourself.
Yeah.
Is you got to be like, you got to be ready to throw a punch. And what's interesting throughout this whole book and then in the next scene up until the very end, parents don't mention it. Brother doesn't mention it. Sister doesn't mention it. There are no adults. There's no teaching staff. There's no recess people until towards the end. It is a thing, though, I do think that is real, is that when families and young people don't feel that there's support networks around them that are responsive, that are able to follow through on what they say, people will try to resort to, okay, I've got to figure out how to solve this problem on my own, which is why I do think it's important that any school district or any program that works with young people make sure that they do follow up to reported incidences, and also, to the best of their ability, let families know what has happened. Sometimes we're restricted in data privacy and we can't always close the communication loop completely, but there's still ways that we can make sure that parents know and kids know that we've done what we can on our end.
Well, I think it's interesting because this was definitely coming from a time and a place when the notion of bullying was something that kids were supposed to deal with on their own. Like this thought. And I think that there still is like this sense of this is a kid problem between kids, and you sort of have to tough it out. Like, I think that there is a hesitation on a lot of kids' parts to bring something like this to adults.
Yeah.
Because it's embarrassing a lot of times.
And there's a culture of, you know, not to snitch, to be tough, deal with it on your own. And then there is a reinforcement from adults. And it's ironic too, I think. There's a reinforcement that, you know what, I dealt with bullying. This is a part of being a kid.
Yep.
This is how you learn. This is how you take some bumps and bruises. And then all of us will also still go back into our lives and be like, middle school was terrible.
Yes.
I hated it. It was the worst time of my life. But then we want our kids to run through the same gauntlet, even though we know the scars that happen from it. And I think that's an interesting thing. And also, bullying isn't just every third period while I'm walking through the hallway, I get pushed into a locker. It deals on a deeper level, I think, because of the way that social media, again, is wrapped into it, the way that social capital is played out, our own self-worth is brought into it, and the way that we broadcast that through different networks can be really damaged through bullying. So I do think bullying looks a lot different than just some playground fights.
Right.
Again, we'll dive into that a little bit later. But maybe to segue, the next scene is another graphic.
Yes.
Playground fight. This one has blood in it.
Actual blood. I think this is.
Is this one of the first?
I think this might be the first.
It's a very small
instance
line,
of blood in a first time reader.
Right.
So so what happens here?
Oh, so Tuffy.
Yes.
And this is important to note too. So Tuffy is throwing rocks at a bird that can't fly.
Yeah, baby bird, yeah.
So Tuffy is not just a bully. Tuffy is a sociopath.
Yes.
Right?
Like to one degree or another, yes.
She's throwing rocks at a bird that can't fly.
Or at least has a lot of misdirected anger.
Yeah.
Like that she is trying to take out on something.
Right. Sister goes to defend the bird by beating up Tuffy because that's what Sister learned. So in this scenario, Sister wasn't even defending herself. She was defending the bird.
Right.
Because she was taught her boxing lessons over the weekend, I guess wanted to use that tool in her tool case.
Right.
Versus many of the other tools that I'm sure she's learned in previous lessons from Berenstain Bears Bongs.
Well, her body is now a weapon.
Yep,
so she.
Yep. I'm sure she's learned about how to be an upstander in different ways beyond punching people out. So now that Sister has punched Tuffy, now there's now we finally have a recess teacher.
Right.
Who interestingly says that the recess teacher saw the whole thing and saw that Tuffy was throwing rocks at the bird and that Sister came in to help. So I'm curious where this recess teacher has been this whole time. If she's been watching all this stuff happen, she saw the fight. she saw everything.
Well, why the recess teacher didn't intervene when Tuffy was throwing rocks at a bird?
Why it shouldn't have taken Sister. Maybe the recess teacher could have modeled the appropriate way to deal with the situation, but that's not the lesson that was put forth in this book.
So here we are. We finally arrive at the discipline bench outside Mr. Honeycomb, the principal's office, and we have our first actual conversation between Sister and Tuffy. And it's a little bit of a revelation.
It is. And it's a revelation that goes on for 3 pages.
Uh-huh.
3 to 4 pages. And then it's done. It's left to rest. So Tuffy is crying. So again, going back to old bullying tropes, is Tuffy is like down in one punch and then just in tears. And Sister is just sitting there with her arms crossed, kind of nonplussed about the whole thing. Side note, we had a discipline bench.
Oh, yeah?
At my middle school. So this, again, also brought me back to that. And Tuffy starts talking that Tuffy's worried that if her parents find out that she is in trouble, she says she's not going to be able to sit down for, well, a long time. So we hint in just one sentence that there's that Tuffy is a target of violence at home.
Yes.
And that's a pretty deep topic.
Yes.
And that's something that we obviously see here in the school district, what it means for someone who's an aggressor in a school building to be the target at home. And so we'll get into that as well. You're right. There's a lot to unpack here. What's interesting then is that they bring up this kind of deep topic, and then the book's done.
Because it says, how does it phrase it in that copy on one page? Go one page back.
Yeah.
Sister says, hmm.
Yeah, hmm, thought Sister. Here's a cub who maybe gets hit a lot at home. Maybe that's why she likes to hit other cubs at school. But Sister didn't think about that for too long.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was too worried about herself.
Yeah, she was worried about herself. In the end, and then it's done. And then Sister goes home without getting in trouble because she was protecting a baby bird. She gets a warning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuffy, the principal didn't call her parents, but she did lose recess privileges and has to visit the school psychologist twice a week for quite a while. So indefinite.
I hate to laugh, but that is the grimmest ending.
Yeah, right.
To a Berenstain Bears book.
Yeah, and so while walking through the plot with you, you know, obviously, I've got kind of a smile on my face, and we're talking about the Berenstain Bears and a bully book.
Yes.
But there are a lot of deep ways that I think this book touches on things that are real. And obviously, I'll say obviously, and doesn't go nearly far enough into the actual topic. I'll give it the grace that it is a first time book and reader. And it's interesting though with that is that these are the first time lessons we were taught.
Yes.
And so I get, you know, even reading this, I as I've mentioned before, I go, oh yeah, this is how I was taught about bullying mm-hmm. growing up. And a lot of these messages are wrong.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what messages in this book are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Violence is, I'll just name a few. violence is solved with violence.
What do you see when violence attempts to solve itself with violence?
Violence is one of those things that multiplies. So you've got somebody who's enacting violence, and then if that's met with more violence, well, we've got more violence, we've got more harm. Rarely is there justice in that. Also, what we look for is restoration. We want to restore people back to the school community. We have to remember that while some of these acts are obviously inappropriate, violent, could be harmful, we need to be able to help young minds and young learners come back into a community where they can learn these lessons, where they can learn the skills they need to navigate conflict, to navigate life, as they leave these schools. When we're looking at violence, well, now we've got to separate people. Sometimes that means we've got to suspend people or expel people. That's obviously what we don't want to do. Is that also takes them out of the community that could potentially give them the skills they need to make the right choices in life,
mm-hmm.
right? And so violence often leads to a pretty narrow path. Where when we can do restorative practices, when we can build social emotional skills like empathy, respect, communicating across difference, we're building the capacity for that person to have multiple paths in their future versus a very narrow one.
When violence is met with violence, it seems like it doesn't just narrow the path for the victim. It also seems like it narrows the path for the initial aggressor as well. Like Tuffy's choices are being limited by when her actions are met with an equally violent action.
Mm-hmm.
It narrows her. Any other path that she could take just seems to be eliminated. Like she's just going to have to be able to keep responding with more violence.
Right.
like it sort of seems like it's unfair in both directions now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've gone from the victim. Now, I wouldn't say you've gone from the victim to the aggressor, but in Sister's situation here, it almost seems like she has gone from the victim to a little bit of the aggressor because she instigates the next conflict.
She becomes a little overzealous in her newfound knowledge of how to beat someone up, and that's the first tool she uses in her toolbox.
Yes.
Like I mentioned earlier, so I think about a toolbox, and I think about what are the skills and what are the tools that we can put in a child's toolbox about how to deal with different situations. And brother gave her a new tool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that idea of like, if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yes.
And so she was like, hey, there's this nail. I'm gonna go hammer it. And she did.
What other okay, so we've seen violence being violent. That's mm-hmm. one thing that's wrong. What else came up in this book that could have been handled better?
I think one of the ways too that we especially when we're dealing with young people again, and I think that's a constant reminder, is that we're dealing with young learners and young minds and young people that are trying to figure out a world around them. There's a lot of stuff happening internally, and there can be a lot of stuff happening externally, and they're trying to navigate that. And so when we label somebody, you're a bully, you're a bully, this is a no good, rotten bully, this is a bully whose name happens to be Tuffy. No, this is Tuffy. Who has these negative behavior patterns, right? So taking away that label of bully, taking away that label of victim, we don't want people to only be a word or an identity. We want them to be a whole person. So in the language of a school, we often use language like target and aggressor.
Mm.
So you were the aggressor in this situation. You were the target of this situation. The behavior you did is not welcome in the school. It doesn't show respect or a positive environment. And so that behavior you did is wrong. You're not a bad person. The behavior is. How can we do this differently? That's the kind of conversation we want to have with young people. We don't want to label them as bullies, right?
Yeah, it seems like that's a very... Because once you get that label...
Right.
That becomes who you are.
That's what you are.
Yeah. Especially in a school environment where kids are quick to latch on to that one identifier.
And now you're a victim, and that's your label.
Right.
You're the kid that gets bullied. You're the, you know. And so we want to think about the action more than we want to think about the person as an identity, right? And then the other one that they play with... I'm just fascinated because my work is LGBT work, and I look at LGBT inclusion work as gender equity work, and I look at how gender plays out through this whole book. When I read in the beginning the poem, they even have that he/she
right.
bounce to make sure it doesn't happen, which is kind of funny. But the interesting thing was the way bullying gets portrayed is that boys are doing physical violence as bullying, and girls are spreading drama
mm-hmm.
and gossip and things like that. We gender the way bullying looks when that's not an accurate description of how bullying looks. Also, the way that bullying is dealt with is, you know, brother's going to go beat up the bully, and it's all very rooted in physical violence and male aggression and those sorts of pieces. So I thought that was a really interesting way that to watch just how gender plays out in the book as well.
I thought it was funny that brother goes to confront Tuffy, and when Tuffy shows up and brother's like, it's a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, okay, well, I can't beat up this little girl, honestly, because she's also incredibly tiny. She's smaller than Sister.
Mm.
So he's also like, that would, even if this was a little boy, it'd probably look bad because then I'd be like beating up a little boy. But then he doesn't take the opportunity to be like, okay, well, let's talk to this little, let's figure out what's going on with this little kid.
Can we de-escalate?
He puts his hands in his pocket and just slouches off.
Yeah.
Like he lost a conflict.
That's funny. Yeah, it is kind of, well, if I can't beat her up, because I'm a boy, who can beat her up?
Right.
Oh, I know. My sister.
And
something had to be done. But what? As he passed the school, brother got an idea. And that idea was to get the equipment to train Sister so Sister could be the one to do it since he couldn't do it.
And what's happened is we were introduced to the story by Sister arriving. She doesn't arrive beaten up to brother. She arrives beaten up to her family,
mm-hmm.
who then drop out of the story.
Right.
Like, Mama and Papa Bear don't do anything for this situation. Like, I can't even remember. Do they even bring up contacting the school or contacting Tuffy's parents?
No, not Tuffy's parents for sure. Tuffy's parents are not mentioned until Tuffy mentions parents at the end.
Yeah, Mama says, we've been discussing the situation, and we've pretty much decided the best thing for Sister to do is simply to avoid this awful Tuffy person.
Right. Which, again, is that admission that there's not teaching staff.
Yes.
There's not a principal. There's not a counselor.
If she still has trouble, we'll report it to the principal.
Okay.
But I'm like, what is the additional trouble? Like, to me, Sister's already been brutalized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more trouble is just going to be your child returning home from school beaten up again.
That's right.
I simply think it's really strange that there's no intervention from the parents. Like, if a student returns from school one day, or even the playground, and is like, I got beat up at school,
mm-hmm.
What does this school district recommend a parent do?
Yeah, we definitely want incidences of bullying and harassment and unsafety, or lack of safety, to be reported, so that we're able to bring in the appropriate resources and appropriate responses to make a safer learning environment. Obviously, we don't want any unsafe learning environments, and also we know that those do happen. So we need folks in the community, we need parents, we need students to be able to let us know those things that we're missing. We see a lot of things, there's no way we can see everything. So we wanna make sure that we're working in partnership with parents, communities, and students. Bullying can't be solved just by a principal, just by a teaching staff, just by a recess monitor out on the playground. We need to have a whole community effort around this. So we definitely want to hear about that information. And then we do a number of different things when we learn about a bullying situation. We develop a safety and success plan with each person that was involved in that conflict. So that includes the target, the aggressor, and then potentially any bystanders there too that might have been impacted by the action. Because we also have to remember that anybody impacted by a bullying situation is not just the aggressor and the target, it's the people that witnessed that as well. And so they need to be a part of that solution and that restoration as well. Would now be a time to get into what the different steps would be?
Oh,
to?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. So let's take a look and say, okay, so we are now being offered the opportunity to write this Berenstain Bears scenario, mm-hmm. to fix the book, to help Bear Country learn
right.
to be better advocates for the targets of bullying,
right.
and better advocates for the how did you phrase it? If you're not the target, you are the aggressor. Be better advocates for the aggressor. Be better advocates just for students in general. What are the steps you would take?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that the book hopefully would be a little bit more mundane.
Mm-hmm.
It would have a little less violence and action in it, but would ultimately make Bear Country a better space. So one thing we do. First thing we do in any situation is we want to make sure that the aggressor and the target are separated. Interestingly, they're both talking to the principal. They're sitting on the bench together right at the end of the book. We would want to make sure those parties are separated.
And what is the reason for that?
One, we don't want any more targeting to happen to the person that was targeted. We don't want to create any potential unsafe situations in that way. Oftentimes people go to mediation, mediation being where you put a couple people in the room together and you get them to talk and just hash it out. But if you think about how that works in reality is you've got somebody who was the target of violence and somebody who was the aggressor of violence sitting in a room together. They can say whatever they want to you inside that room. And then outside that room, what does that look like? What happens in those moments? And so oftentimes, because of the power dynamic and the nature of bullying, mediation harms people involved in that process. So first thing we would do is we would separate the folks, and we would, of course, get information. We want to make sure that everyone feels safe, that everyone is safe in that moment. And we put together what a success plan can look like. And that's really a whole wraparound approach that involves different aspects of the community. So some things are logistical. Some things can be things like scheduling. How do we How do we move folks if that's what's needed so that maybe they just don't see each other in the building as much anymore? That could be different lunch schedules, different hallway passing times, pieces like that. So that's kind of just a structural logistic one. But we also want to make sure that teachers are aware of what's going on. We want to make sure that the students can identify teachers that they can talk to in a bullying situation so they know that they have somebody they can go to that they trust and they feel good with. And then one of the things I do is I work a lot with our student groups throughout the school district to help also share the message of being an upstander, building a positive school environment, because it can come from adults all you want, but it also needs to come from the voices that matter the most, right, are going to be their peers, are going to be other students in the building. So I'll oftentimes work with different student groups on developing initiatives and campaigns and conversations around bully prevention, around being a what we call an upstander. So you can be a bystander and watch something happen, or you can be an upstander and help intervene. So how to be an upstander. We'll do maybe a whole week where students are having conversations about bullying. There are different things that happen in the lunchroom, an assembly, signing bully pledge cards, just a way to bring visibility and awareness to the issue of bullying. So there's multiple things we can do in that way. And then in the classroom, we try to focus on social-emotional learning. Social-emotional learning is a series of skills that we teach that students need to have to be able to navigate through the world. So education has very much become, you know, math, science, those things we can measure with data. Mm-hmm. Social emotional learning lives outside of that, but we know that it's also equally important for a student to be able to have a successful and healthy life outside of the school building. So that includes things like self-awareness, behavior management, social awareness, empathy, respect, communicating across difference. We work with teachers on developing lesson plans that they can have that all students receive so that when a situation happens and harm has been done to the community, teachers can draw back on the lessons that they had already talked about and said, hey, remember when we talked about managing conflict? Well, you know, last weekend we know that this situation happened. How did that affect us? How do we think that it could be handled differently? And so there's a conversation happening. And I think those are the pieces that can really help bring a bullying situation to a successful resolution when they come up.
Now, it's interesting because you said before you even mentioned that, you're like, it wouldn't be that exciting of a book. Mm-hmm. If this is, you know, obviously yeah. They were going for a more dramatic approach to bullying. But I think that's the downfall of this type of book, which is ideally, if you were writing a book for children in this style with recurring characters mm-hmm. in a community, it would be a situation where the kids would pass off the responsibility to the adults.
Yeah.
Like the whole idea behind these books is that the children are responsible for their own safety, for their own well-being at school. And mm-hmm. that shouldn't be the case. Like these, right. It shouldn't be up to the students to build a safe learning environment. It should be, there should be systems in place mm-hmm. where the kids can then go to the adults and have them take control of the situation.
Yep.
And of course you can't do that in a storybook about kids.
Yep. Now I am thinking though, you know, part of, because a piece of the puzzle that we mentioned too is making sure that the adults also make room for youth voice in this conversation. Mm-hmm. So what would it look like if brother rallied, who do we got? We got Queenie and Lizzie. Are those their names?
Queenie and Lizzie
and some other young cubs at the school to put on a message of acceptance and safety. And, you know, what would it look like to engage all the students in developing a positive learning environment? That you could make that entertaining.
Well, funny enough, that's the kind of books that they actually were writing when they did the big chapter books.
Okay.
Like they did deal with, when they started dealing with issues in those books, however jankily they may have addressed mm-hmm. the issues sometimes, and there was always a certain amount of mystery and subterfuge going on with villains, but whenever they did an issue like this, it did always involve all the cubs coming together mm-hmm. to create a new environment,
right.
to welcome the stranger to learn from their own mistakes. And hilariously enough, and I've brought this up with people just in casual conversation about this particular book, which is they brought in a new bully for this book. Tuffy's not a character we've ever met. Mm. We never meet her again.
Oh, Tuffy's a one and done?
Tuffy is a one and done. But Bear Country School has a bully. They have Too Tall and his gang. They are the installed bullies at the school. They beat up the other kids. They put peer pressure on other cubs. They get you to do bad things, but they don't play into this story. And I wonder if it's just because they can't one and done too tall, they have to have a character who's just eliminated from the story. Otherwise, they would have to do what you said, like deal with him on an emotional level, on a personal level.
Well, because the end reveal is that Tuffy has violence at home that Tuffy is reenacting at school. Well, now that would be part of Too Tall's story, and that would maybe get complicated.
It is part of Too Tall's story. When we first meet Too Tall's father, Two-Ton Grizzly, he is large and aggressive, and he manhandles his son. And, of course, they deal with Two-Ton later on in the chapter. You find out he's actually a very nice bear. He just has some anger issues, and he's a businessman. He's a well-respected businessman in town. But that's getting way into Baron St. Bear's continuity. I looking at this book now, I'm like, the story should have been, if you want a good dramatic story where you can actually learn something, it should have been the revelation at the end about Tuffy's home life should have been introduced sooner. And then you could have had Sister and the other cubs helping bring this bear's issues to the adults. Like, maybe that's the story we're trying to tell, is there's a kid.
Yeah, nothing helps Tuffy in this situation.
Oh, except
Tuffy is still going to be a part of a abusive, because Sister didn't think about it long. That was a sentence that was put ink to paper.
It gives you the message that,
ooh, that's actually pretty wrong too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you learn about somebody else's pain, and instead of, there's no empathy in this book.
Right.
And empathy is the number one preventer of violent situations, especially in a school setting. And so the complete lack of, now you got me going down that, now the complete lack of empathy is actually really interesting and really telling. I'd be curious if this was intentional or just a piece of it. But there's no lesson about Sister having empathy when Tuffy talks about their home life. And even the art, Sister looks kind of bored while Tuffy's in tears, just kind of like, well, this is what you get. That's really fascinating.
Well, interesting you bring that up, because last year Mike Berenstain put out a new edition of the Berenstain Bears and the Bully.
What?
And I believe this was 2017, not 2018. It's a rewrite. It doesn't even say it in the opening, but he rewrote the ending of this book. Just the last couple of pages. And that's why I was asking
you're
going to
surprise me and hit me with the rewrite?
No, honestly. So we got very excited about this because I was like, they rewrote the Bully? Oh my goodness, I can't wait to see what they've done. And it was, if the principal tells my mom and dad about this, said Tuffy, well, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble, that's all. Thought Sister. Here's a cub who's scared and worried. Maybe that's why she picks on other cubs. But Sister didn't think about that for long.
So we just softened the language of violence.
And then, at the very end of the book, instead of the whole, like, think about going to see the school psychologist, Mr. Honeycomb still thought it would be a good idea for both Sister's and Tuffy's parents to come in and talk over what had happened between their cubs. And this is what they did. Sister, brother, and Tuffy all learned that talking things over is a lot better than fighting over things. And it ends, same image though. Like, we still don't see Tuffy incorporated into the final drawing of the book.
They all learned that talking things over is better than fighting over things. How did they learn that?
It is this sort of like weird cop out.
Too clean. It's a little too clean.
But at least he tried to say, like, the parents got involved after everything kind of fell apart.
Right.
But we were really hoping for some kind of major rewrite on the part of the bullying, because this is still a book that is in print and is available to children to pick up at their local library. Uh-huh. Like, it's the Berenstain Bears and the Bully. Mm. And,
that's interesting. Cause I just acknowledging how I came into this is, I read these growing up and I haven't, revisited them until I got your email. Is I've kind of relegated this to a relic of the past.
Yeah.
This is how we used to talk about it. I didn't think about the fact that this is how we're still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a that's a really interesting thing to me now.
Yeah, and it's not, of course, it's not the last time the Berenstain Bears dealt with bullying. In fact, just this year, he put out a new book. Mike put out a new book about bullying that deals with Too Tall and the Gang and bullying within bullying communities. It says the bullies are bullies, but then the Cubs find out that the bullies are bullying one of their own.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it also tries to tie the whole thing in with the story of Joseph and his brothers because it's one of their religious publication versions of the book. So it also tells the story of Joseph and the dream coat. And I don't actually understand how it all fits together because his brothers didn't bully him. They tried to kill him and they threw him into a pit and sold him as a slave.
Conflict, I guess, with bullying with murder.
With murder and biblical like allegory. Yeah. But that's a whole other discussion that I will be having one of these days when I get to that book. But it is still a conversation that's happening and is happening incorrectly.
Yeah. And there's you know, I will give them credit. They don't go into the topics nearly far enough. And again, we've acknowledged this is a first time reader, but the phenomenon, I'll say, of somebody who's the target of bullying or violence at home, perpetuating that in a different setting as a way for them to gain their own power back.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that definitely happens. Sometimes we when we label somebody as a bully, we forget to see their whole humanity, and we forget that they might have other aspects of themselves that aren't being tended to, and that's actually, we need to get to the root of what's really going on. So I like that they mention a target who's also, or an aggressor who's also a target at home. They don't go into it far enough, obviously. And then what you mentioned there, hierarchy, I think is a really compelling piece as well. I look a lot at obviously bullying behavior, but also how gender plays into that. And we will often see social circles, gendered social circles, bullying within inside themselves because you want to keep that hierarchy and that placement. So if I have male privilege, if I do something to step outside of that man box, I'm going to get bullied quite a bit. And so I'm not going to want to step outside of that man box because I want to keep my privilege, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Now, obviously, this is a book for children, and it's, but like I said, it's still in print. And my listeners exist, I like to believe, all over the world. I know all over the country, at least. So resources are different, and school districts are different, and the way things are set up is, you know, will vary from place to place. But on a very basic level, what can people do if they are the target of bullying, or they believe their children or a friend is the target of bullying? Like, what's just a good first step?
I think communication does have to be a piece of it. I do know that there's societal pressure to not talk about it. There's societal pressure to retaliate on your own terms. We have a very revenge driven culture. We have a culture that rewards bullying in a lot of different ways. And so I know there's a lot of pressure not to talk about it. I do think that is something that has to happen, though, being able to have a conversation with your kids. If you're a young person, being able to have a conversation with your peers, or also different adults that you know that are able to help. That's a piece of it. And then knowing that it's not usually one person or one action that's going to solve an issue, that it really does take to get a culture change. That takes time, and it takes things coming from a lot of different angles. We need to make sure people's needs are met physically and emotionally and mentally. We need to make sure that they have connection, that they feel valued. When we lack our needs being met, when we lack connection, when we lack value, that's when I think we see the more violent behaviors, the more aggressive behaviors come out. So we need to make sure that we're building communities with that wraparound support and that wraparound care for somebody as well.
As with most of the big issues that we address, when we do address big issues on the show, there's never one solution.
Right.
There's never one easy step. I mean, this stuff is, as you said, it's ingrained in the society. Like what we, and I think that's part of the reason why in sitcoms and in children's books, we tend to portray bullying as this sort of aberration. A bully is easily identifiable and easily taken care of, even though it is bullies aren't just that one kid with a chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. It takes a form of the popular kids. It takes a form of teachers. It can take the form of many authority mm-hmm. figures, or it can take the form of groups ganging up. Like it's something that has to be identified. It has to be addressed with and dealt with by the people in charge. Yeah, again, mm-hmm. we can't leave it up to the kids to make all the change in the world. And this has been a very serious episode, and I knew it was going to be, which is why I desperately wanted to make sure I got you on the show.
Good, good, yeah.
Because it's something that I feel very strongly about, and what you said is part of what I believe. When the Berenstain Bears are at their strongest, it is when their message is simply value each other mm-hmm. and support a community in which everyone has worth and everyone has value and everyone has something to contribute, and that we respect and value each other. That's when they do it right. That's the ultimate message of the Berenstain Bears. When they do it wrong, it involves beating a bag of beans into a pulp and then taking out your aggression on another bear.
And so if you're a parent who's reading this book, because you bought it off the shelf a week ago because it's still for sale, mm-hmm. Remember that the lessons you can teach from, don't always do what Brother Bear does.
Yes.
Right? Don't always do what Sister Bear does. Can I take us one? It sounds like we're wrapping up. Can I take us one step deeper?
Please do.
Into this? Whenever I have an audience, I always try to make sure that we talk about this. Bullying is something that, again, people can, the word gets used a lot. We go, oh, well, that's just, it's what kids do, right? It's kids stuff. Right? Why can't you handle bullying? But bullying is a really insidious way of getting into our lives and all the way into adulthood. There's research that came out about 4 years ago, and this is really the work as somebody who does LGBT work. This is when this research came out, I kind of hung the work of the program Out for Good, which is the program I am the coordinator of, on this work. And it showed that early childhood bullying behavior in third and fourth grade, by middle school, starts to become homophobic in nature. And then you got to prove you're a man, you're not a sissy or a punk or whatever. And that often happens at the denigration of women. So that same behavior in middle school, by early high school, starts to become sexual harassment. By the end of high school, that same behavior can become teen dating violence. And so now we have a statistical link between early childhood bullying behavior and teen dating violence, with homophobia somewhere in the middle. And whenever I'm looking at a big problem, I think about what's the change in my own backyard, because you've only got control of so much. In my own backyard, that change would be homophobia. What's that really about? It's about gender. It's about you're not acting like a man, you're not acting like a woman. And gender impacts all of our students. Gender impacts from what classes we think we're good at, what jobs we get, how much emotion we're allowed to show. So when we create spaces that are more inclusive for our LGBT students, what we're really doing is making spaces that are safer for all of us, that are performing gender, and we're all performing gender whether we realize it or not. About 70% of middle school bullying is based on gender. You know, trying to impress your guys, being teased for how you look, and a number of other things. And so again, when we're looking at bullying, know that it's something that does, it's the start of a longer path, and it's something that does follow us into our teenage years and into adulthood as well.
I think it's a great message to end the show with. If you follow if you go to the blog, berensteinbearcast.wordpress.com, I'm going to have links that Jason will provide for you to take a look at as far as like resources for bullying, just so you don't have to use this one episode as your only resource. I always like, I want this to be actionable, and I want people to be able to use this for starting a dialogue, for finding their own resources, and for educating themselves and maybe educating the people around them. But Jason, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Thank you. I really appreciate the invite.
For everyone else, you can find me at berensteinbearcast.wordpress.com. You can email me at berensteinbearcast@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at bstainbearcast. And you can find me on Patreon at patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. If you want to throw a couple bucks my way, the show could always, it costs money to buy books. So, I don't spend extravagantly, but that's basically my only expense for this show is purchasing those Berenstain Bears books one a week. But thank you everyone for joining us, and I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.